You've been sold the idea that financial independence is all about some number on your account statement. Or even worse, that you don't qualify because of where you started out. That's just not true. It's not about some well-kept secret of the wealthy. It's about finding the right information and knowing how to apply it. On the Get Ready for the Future show, we're answering your questions so you can start making real financial change today. The journey to true financial independence begins right here, and it starts with you.
Welcome into the Get Ready for the Future show, where we are here to help people discover, protect, and share true financial independence. That is the mission statement at GenWealth Financial Advisors, and it is why we are on the air with the Get Ready for the Future show. So if you're watching us or on live stream, or you're listening to us on the radio or podcast, thanks for being here. And if you have a question for us, that's what this program is all about, is to not tell you what you need to know, but to talk to you about what you is on your mind. We have a method for you to get a question into us, and it is simply a phone number where you can leave a voicemail or shoot us a text at 501-381-5228. Again, the number is 501-381-5228. So write that number down and send us in a question, and we could use it on a future show. We've got four teed up today. Hi, I'm Scott Inman, Janet Walker. Forgot to introduce us. Ready to go?
Ready.
All right, our first question, Whitney from Little Rock. I'm 61 and my husband is 65. We've saved about $1 million, but we're worried about taxes eating into our withdrawals. How do we make our income last and stay tax smart? Saving $1 million is impressive, Whitney. Congratulations on that. Keeping it is the real challenge. So let's talk about the tax traps you can avoid in retirement. So the saving part looks like they've done quite well, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people have a goal of $1 million when it's just this magical number, I think, because you've got an extra figure. And we heard growing up, you know, millionaires, millionaires, millionaires. It's not as much as it used to be, but in Arkansas, if you're making wise decisions, you can retire on that $1 million. So you've done a great job in accumulating that over the years. So now the challenge is, how do we handle taxes moving forward? So retirement, when you think about the different assets that you have, there are likely a combination for many people. There's likely a combination of some of your assets that when you withdraw income, it'll be taxable, and other assets that when you withdraw income, it's not taxable in terms of income tax. You may have capital gains taxes that you're dealing with, but it's not at such a high level as the income tax. And then for Roths, you've got tax-free income that you if you have Roth accounts. And so the diversification of taxes is absolutely something that we want to look at when we're putting together a retirement income plan. That sequence of when we utilize different assets is very important, Scott.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about the qualified plans, which in Arkansas and most of our clients, that's where most of their wealth is. They've built it in the 401k. They typically roll it over to an IRA, may keep it in a 401k, but either way, the tax treatment on it's going to be the same. Those dollars were put in pre-tax. So when they come out, they're taxed at ordinary income tax rates. So they're going to be stacked on top of your other income. So Whitney, the first thing we would need to know to help you out in building a tax smart strategy in the withdrawal portion of your retirement income is to see what your other income situation looks like. What is your Social Security? Both of your Social Security amounts going to be, or is there a pension? Is there other income that's going to be coming in that is that foundational income that the withdrawals would have to be stacked upon? What kind of margin do you have to basically what we would call fill up the tax bracket? Because as we know, the federal income tax brackets are tiered. They go from 12 to 22 to 24 and on to 32% and higher, depending on how much household income you have. So right now, that big jump is from 12 to 22, and it happens right shy of $100,000 in income for married filing jointly. And that's after your standard deduction, so you could actually probably make a little bit more than that and not be taxed above the 12% bracket. So that would be a key point in figuring out, just from a tax perspective, where your income could potentially be taxed at 12% versus jumping into that 22%. But the challenge with that is that going to be enough money for you? Is that going to be enough income? Because you have to devise this income plan first, which incorporates your foundational income with your desired income, discretionary withdrawals from that retirement account. And then once you are settled on what you want to live on, we can begin to look at what your tax situation is going to be. But I would say, Janet, one of the first things that people can do is to make sure they do that early in retirement. And the reason being is there's going to come a day where the government's going to require you to take withdrawals from this. And if you push that, if you let those accounts grow, if you take this $1 million, for an example, and they don't have to take anything out, let's assume it's all qualified money and is a pre-tax money, they don't take anything out and they're 65 and 61, by the time Whitney's husband reaches 75, that's 10 years of growth. Mm-hmm. That could look a lot closer to $2 million.
Yeah.
And now that husband has reached required minimum distribution age and the government's going to require them to take out a certain amount and it only goes up from there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've lost control.
So let's talk about an opportunity that they will have before he hits 75. You know, the required minimum distribution age used to start at 70 and a half for everybody, and they've bumped that up. But one of the things that they left alone at 70 and a half is still the opportunity to do a qualified charitable distribution, a QCD. And the way this works, Whitney, this can really help you. You guys are not this age yet, but after at 70 and a half and beyond, you'll have the opportunity to do this. If you, one of the examples I use, it doesn't have to be a church, but a lot of people, we're in the Bible Belt. If you're attending church, and your church is likely set up as a 501c3. Some of the smaller churches actually didn't go through that process, but if it's officially a charitable organization, then whatever giving you're already doing to the church, you can do that directly from your IRA to the church, and it reduces your taxable income. That's a huge deal. So just for round numbers, if you had been giving $7,500, then if we gross that up, you had to probably withdraw $10,000 in order to give $7,500 to get that after-tax amount. But if it goes straight from your IRA, you've got a couple of choices. You can either give the full $10,000 because it's not going to be included in your taxable income, and that way your church gets more, but it's the same net impact to you. Or you could give the $7,500, and you've still got that additional $2,500 in your account. You didn't have to touch that for taxes. So it's advantageous for sure, but a lot of people don't really know that this is an opportunity that they have. So prior to age 70 and a half, we want to talk about things like, you know, who's going to inherit this money when you're gone? Do you want it to go to a church, as an example? Because if it goes to, or any charitable organization, if it goes to a charity, then if they're withdrawing IRA money, they're not going to have to pay the taxes. If your kids are withdrawing it, they do. So do you have Roth money that can go to the kids and traditional dollars that can go to the church? Lots of ways to look at this tax-wise, Scott.
Yeah, the bottom line is Whitney and her husband need to come in and build a retirement income plan, incorporating the tax strategy into that plan. At GenWealth, a retirement income plan answers the questions like, which account do we withdraw from first? How do we fill lower tax brackets intentionally? Where can a Roth conversion possibly reduce future taxes? Didn't even really address that for time purposes on this segment. And what assets do we leave as an inheritance, as Janet has referred to? The GenWealth Ready to Retire process can be stepped into and begun by calling 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And if you want more free info about retirement, investments, and your money, I want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for GenWealth Financial Advisors on YouTube, and you'll see lots of great resources. Our next question is from Sean in Little Rock. I am single, 50 years old. I'll have my house paid off in 6 years. I have $700,000 in my investment accounts. I've played around with retirement calculators with an 8 to 10% return rate. It estimates between $2.5 million and $3 million by my retirement age at 65. I'm investing $19,000 a year in retirement accounts. My question is, can I trust these projections? In Arkansas, if I have that amount, I believe I will be comfortable in retirement. I make about $80,000 a year. Well, thanks for the thorough info, by the way, Sean. That's lots of data. According to that calculator, you're headed towards $3 million. But can you trust the projections is the question. So I want to break down what those numbers say and what they don't. It's an excellent question, very common. And, you know, I think calculators do give you some general idea of where you're going to land in retirement based on your contributions and a return rate. I would say to Sean first, the 10% return rate's a little high. I think that, yeah, you could say the long-term average of the S&P 500 is right about there. 8% may be more like it, but the other piece to that is as you get closer to that retirement age of 65, you're probably going to need to dial back the risk. So even that 8% is assuming that you're all in equities. And are you going to want to be all in equities as you get that close to retirement? Because assuming age 65, all in equities is age 64, mm-hmm. probably doesn't make sense. So I think a more modest rate of return number is probably appropriate here, maybe in the 6 to 7% range. Not to mention, if you don't get that 8 to 10, you want a more realistic understanding of where you're going to land.
Yeah, I think you're spot on here when we talk about averages. You're not going to get your returns in averages. You're going to get some higher and some lower. And Sean, as you get closer to retirement, just like Scott said, there's going to be a portion of this that you're not going to want to be all in on. I talk to people about, like, you would not put your grocery money in your investments because you're going to need your grocery money tomorrow when you go to the store. So when you get really close to retirement, you're going to be thinking the same way about a portion of those investments. So we just can't assume that we're going to have that 8 to 10% rate across the board on all of those dollars. It's really important to get that diversification. Another thing, Sean, that you've really got to consider is, and we have talked about this previously, but the timeline of when the market turns the other direction. You're 50 years old. I don't know, you know, exactly for sure. We don't know when this is going to turn around, but between now and the time that you retire, we will have a pullback. That's going to happen. So how do you handle your assets in preparation for that? And especially the closer you get to retirement, because if you're, let's say somebody's 63 and going to retire at 65, they don't have the time for that market to then turn back around and go the other direction. So we have to begin before long to segment those assets so that you're prepared for a downturn.
So the other part of the question here is, will I be comfortable in retirement? And then he lets us know, which is very valuable information, that he makes about $80,000 a year. That tells me you got a really good shot at doing that, right?
Yeah,
if you even with a more modest rate of return, those contributions of $19,000 a year, if you do that for another 15 years, you're going to have a really nice nest egg, whether it lands at 2.3 or 2.4 or 3 million. You're going to be in great shape to devise a strategy to make that money last the rest of your life. And that $80,000 tells me that you've been able to put that $19,000 back, living on $80,000 a year. So fantastic job of doing that, Sean. It sounds like you haven't had any problem of living within your means and being able to save for retirement. And I don't think those habits greatly change in retirement. What I'm saying, if you've got that kind of nest egg and you've lived on $80,000 all these years, you're not likely to change the way you live in day one of retirement. So if you've done what it takes to save that for that long,
right,
then you've probably got what it takes to not outspend your assets. But that being said, to your point, the investment strategy really matters here to make sure that that happens.
So, Sean, we're probably going to spend a little bit more time on your question because I think this hits a lot of potential reality for people. So we're just going to hang out here for a minute. I want to share a story with you, Sean, about a client who actually came in to meet with us back in 2000 was the first time that she came in. She had retired in 2000. This is a true story of a lady we met with in 2007 for the first time. But she had retired in the year 2000. And I'm sharing this not to scare you, but to prepare you, because I want people to understand, when you talk about potentially going into retirement with $3 million, it sounds like, okay, I'll be on easy street. And that should be the reality, but that is not always the case. So let me share her story. She retired at age 50 in the year 2000, and she had $3 million at that point in retirement assets. One would think that she would be fine retiring in the state of Arkansas with $3 million, even though she was retiring early. But 2000, 2001, and 2002 were the three worst years our country had seen since the Great Depression. She retired at the beginning of that. So she had no idea that she was retiring into a significant market downturn. One of the things that was unique about Linda's situation is that because of retiring early, and these were qualified assets, so from a 401k type of account, she had to commit to taking what's called substantially equal periodic payments, so the same amount of income, until age 60. And so she did that. There's an opportunity to recalculate that one time, but she came in for the first time to see us in 2007. She had been working with somebody else previously to that. When she came in to see us in 2007, after having retired 7 years earlier with $3 million, she only had $300,000. She had not made horrific decisions. She had not spent a ridiculous amount of money. She was not prepared for the downturn. And for her to be taking withdrawals at that set amount in with 3 years of consecutive negative markets that were really bad. And so it just took a toll. And when we met with her, it is absolutely the saddest, most heavy appointment I have ever had to do, because I met with her to gather information, and then I looked at this every way possible, and I had to go back and tell her, you're going to have to go back to work. You're not going to be able to maintain your income needs at this point. But Sean, that could have all been avoided for Linda if at the beginning some things had been done differently.
Yeah.
We talked about, as you approach retirement, you're going to need to segment those assets so that not everything is exposed to that 8 to 10%, because 8 to 10% looks great, but the reverse of that in a downturn, a down 40%, is horrific. And that's what she experienced. And this is what's called sequence of return risk. And it's one thing for us to talk about, there's this thing in finance called sequence of return risk, wah, 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 wah. But this is a real person, and it truly happened, and it's heartbreaking. And there's no opportunity to build it back up. So it is critical, Sean, I believe, that even though you've done an extraordinary job in accumulating, I think it's critical that you get a significant plan in place for your retirement income.
You can call us, Sean, to go through the GenWealth Ready to Retire process, 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. You can also shoot us an email. You can send it to info@getreadyforthefuture.com. And Sean, we want to name your question, the question of the week. It's a great question, very common to what we get in the meeting room. And I also like the details that he sent.
Yes,
lots
thank
of
you for
info.
That.
So we want to send you a Get Ready for the Future Show Tumblr, just like the one that I've got right here. Look at there. It's like you can put it right next to that one. And
the,
it looks like
the one on the screen looks just
one.
Like yours.
Yes. To do that, we just want you to email us and claim it by sending the email to show@getreadyforthefuture.com. Our next question, Stephen from Benton. I'm 58 and was just offered a buyout. Should I take the lump sum, or is it better to stay a few more years for the benefits? That's a big question. No universal right answer. The key is understanding what you gain and what you give up on each side. And this is a common thing happening. I don't know if Stephen is working for Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield, but that's one of the employers.
It is definitely
happening. We've been working with some folks there. I think that typically is coming to people who are 59 and higher. But this is a big pivot point at 58 years old. And he's thinking along the right lines as far as the benefit piece to this, because I know with that buyout offer, there is some extension of the health care coverage, the health insurance, which makes it a little more attractive.
Right.
But I think the first thing you got to do is deciding how and when the money is used, invested, or protected. You know, you're going to get a lump sum buyout. Are you going to live on that for a year? Are you going to pay off some debt? Are you going to invest it for your future retirement income? Making that decision has to be made after building a retirement income plan. So I think that's the first piece for Stephen, is he's got to get that on paper, on purpose, and see what his retirement situation looks like to even begin to know how and why or how and if he should take that lump sum.
So let's talk about some pros and cons to both sides. So on taking the lump sum, pros and cons. So some advantages if you go this route, you've got some flexibility and control into how your money is used, how it's invested, how it's protected, where right now it is in the plan that you have at work, and that's what you have. But if you get this buyout, then you have the opportunity to be completely flexible with how you handle that. You also have the ability to redesign work, if you want to think about it that way. It doesn't mean that just because you're 58 and you get a buyout, doesn't mean you have to go to the house. You have the ability, if you want, to maybe do something. Maybe there's something you've always wanted to do. Maybe it wouldn't have paid you enough to fully support yourself, but now you have this buyout and that could supplement as well. So that's a possibility. A lot of people, Scott, that we've seen over the years have gone to a part-time job instead of going straight to retirement, because that's another, I'll hit on the emotional side of this. Mm-hmm. It can be a drawback to go from full-time work. I wasn't planning to retire, but here's this offer, so I'm going to take it. Well, now who are you? Because men in particular, and it's true of some women as well, but especially men tend to define themselves by what they do career-wise. So that's one of the possible drawbacks. But there's quite a few other potential advantages and drawbacks that we could touch on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I think about one of the clients that we just worked with recently who had that, was facing that. Only difference was she was 59 instead of 58. But also the thing that comes to mind as I compare that to her situation, Stephen, is do you have a spouse? Where's the other income coming from? So because when you're making those decisions and building that plan, if you're going to walk away from work and you're going to maybe work part-time, the household income is going to dip. Can you deal with that with another spouse's income kind of providing some lift? But then also, if you aren't prepared for retirement and needed those future contributions to be made to your 401k, now you're not making them because you're likely not going to have access or be eligible for a retirement plan if you're working part-time. So there's a lot that goes into that of where you're going to end up when you do eventually do a full stop. But you know you're honing in on that benefit piece, and that's a potential drawback for sure. Loss of employer benefits like health insurance, disability coverage, and those contributions, as we talked about, all go away unless you decide to jump into a full-time job somewhere else. And it requires planning discipline. Without a clear plan, the lump sum can be misused or depleted too quickly. So you got to have a plan for how you're going to distribute that. We've already kind of referred to that. The healthcare gap before 65, what's this plan? What's the strategy for insurance prior to Medicare eligibility at age 65? Now, when you talk about staying a few more years, you know, I think I got to ask, do you like your job?
Yeah.
But the other part of that, though, that I think about, especially, and this is something we discussed with the client that we just worked with, is if you don't take this, are they going to potentially get rid of you later anyway?
Right.
And that's a big consideration, too, especially this close to retirement.
Yeah, it's a risk because in some cases that we've seen over the years, you know, the company is offering this and they're going to offer it for a period of time. Then they're not,
right.
You know, and some companies will offer something better and then something better and then they're done. And there's this gambling almost of, okay, at what point do I pull the trigger? And I would encourage you to not be greedy on this, like look at it logically and go, what do I need to have? And does this cover it? Do I want to work or not? And walk through this with your spouse and with a financial advisor. So as far as staying a few years, you would have the security on the pros side of this. You would have the security of that guaranteed income and benefits. But maybe if you take the lump sum, there's also a possibility of guaranteed income as well, but not the paid for benefits like healthcare, et cetera. Although, as you said, Blue Cross is offering that in what they're doing right now. So it all depends on where you are. And Scott, you referenced this earlier, but staying a few more years is going to increase. If you have a pension, it'll increase that. Mm. If you have, obviously for Social Security benefits, it'll increase your earnings. Because if you haven't satisfied the number of earnings years yet, those will start averaging in as zeros if you stop working. So that's definitely something to consider. And then any additional buyout incentives that might come later on. But as far as drawbacks, this opportunity cost, I think, is a big deal. If you're able to make that shift, I think you really need to do some heart analysis of, do I want to continue doing what I'm doing, or do I want to make a shift to do something else, and maybe just pursue something that's fun. Scott, you just got into the grandpa world, yeah. And you know, just this week, so it's not like you're going to go take the kid to the zoo or anything, but as Truett ages, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and predict that I think that your time spend is going to shift.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
Right.
So for Stephen in Benton, and this question that he has, you know, how would you spend your time if you weren't at work?
Yeah, we've worked with a lot of people that have gotten buyouts, and the end result of whether they took it or they didn't take it, and then if they took it, what did they do next, mm-hmm. varies, because a lot of this is mental. A lot of this is emotional. And if you wanted to get out of that job and find something that you find more invigorating, that's a piece to this. Time spent away from work is a piece to this. You just have to work through the process. And, you know, we've talked a lot, really, in each of our questions as we get ready to wrap up the show today,
yeah.
about the Gen Wealth Ready to Retire process. And I think it's worth pointing out for all of our questions today that when we talk about week in and week out about building a retirement income plan so you can see the bigger picture and how the decision you're about to make fits into that, the other piece of this, Janet, is that's one scenario. We can provide mm-hmm. multiple scenarios. And I think in this situation, and really all our questions today, it may require more than one look. We don't expect you to come in here and tell us, I want to retire this month and this year with this much money and this much income, and that's it, and that's final. It may take a few iterations yeah. of working through it, especially in a case where you're dealing with a buyout. We may need to put in there, hey, I'm going to work part-time and make X amount for 2 or 3 more years. I'm going to work full-time for 5 more years. However it needs to play out, there is great flexibility in building multiple looks.
And I think knowing that you have that flexibility before you even come in, knowing that it's possible to see it in different ways, that is so helpful to help people actually at some point make their decision and feel confident and comfortable in the direction that they're deciding to go.
Yeah, a buyout, not just a financial decision, for sure it is a lifestyle decision. That lump sum can offer you great flexibility and freedom, but staying can provide comfort and certainty. So you need some help from a financial advisor that'll work through, build a plan, talk about your goals, and piece that together into a written plan presented to you to make that decision. You heard the final bell. It is time for our closing thoughts, Janet.
You know, I think I'm going to pick up on something you just said, Scott. You talked about the buyout isn't just a financial decision, it's a lifestyle decision. And as I think about that, really every financial decision you make, it's not just a financial decision, it's a lifestyle decision. Whether we're talking about Steve potentially taking a buyout, or we're talking about Sean and whether he's going to be on track for retirement, and then Linda, who was on track and then wasn't, it greatly impacted her lifestyle. So I think, you know, we don't often put it in terms like that, but every financial decision you make has an impact positively or negatively on your lifestyle. It may be positive initially and then negative later because maybe we're spending too much and not investing enough. Lots of different ways to look at that. But if you're ready to prepare for your financial independence lifestyle, that's what we do, helping people retire, helping them plan for their retirement income.
Great turn into my final closing thought, because we're not really talking about retirement. Retirement can be the end result of the planning process, but what we are trying to achieve first is financial independence. And we're talking about true financial independence, knowing that you have reached a point in the future where your income and your assets will support your income for the rest of your life. If you want to walk through the Gen Wealth Ready to Retire process with us, all you have to do is reach out via phone, 866-653-PLAN, or an email, info@getreadyforthefuture.com.
The Gen Wealth Financial Team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com, or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Advisor Alliance and GenWealth Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial. The Get Ready for the Future show is a production of GenWealth Financial Advisors, and opinions expressed are not those of this radio station and are for general information only.